Okay, good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I want to begin with a few thank yous. First of all, I want to thank Zamira. And Zamira very humbly said that that I'm responsible behind the scenes for most of the programming. That's not exactly true. Baruch Hashem, we have a very dedicated program staff, of which Zamira is a very important part of that. And I want to thank Zamira for all she does in organizing the many, many activities with Leila and many of the other activities behind the scene as well. I also want to thank whose face we see, some of us see, our dear friend David Hochhauser, because David Hochhauser has been with us for about 2 years now, behind the scenes for many of the recorded shiurim, but in this tekufah, this period of craziness, of corona, David has literally single-handedly enabled us to be able to continue to share Torah via Zoom and other platforms, so a huge thanks to my dear friend David Hochhauser for everything you do as well. And last but not least, I want to thank our dear friends, the Brockville family, for once again sponsoring this seminar, as they have done so kindly for the past two years plus now, as in memory of their beloved daughter. So our learning this afternoon continues. Le'ilu Nishmat Merat Chaya Sasha by Rabbi Yosef Hillel. Allah Shalom. So our title this afternoon is Yaakov's Open Tents, the Zionist Admor of Tel Aviv. And this afternoon, we're going to learn together several powerful teachings from a very, very unsung and sadly not as well known as he should be, hero of the Jewish people, and that is spiritual hero of the Jewish people, and that is Rabbi Yaakov Friedman, the Admor, the Hasidic master of Hasiatin. Rabbi Yaakov Friedman made Aliyah in 1938, to Tel Aviv, and he lived the last 16 years of his life in metropolitan downtown Tel Aviv from 1938 to 1954. And as we can imagine, this is a very, very difficult, challenging tekufah and wondrous tekufah in Jewish history. Rabbi Friedman escapes Poland just ahead of the Nazis, lives through the tekufah of the Shoah, lives through the early years in the battle against the British in liberating Eretz Yisrael and the period leading up to the declaration of Medinat Yisrael, and of course lived through the very first difficult early years of the State of Israel. And many of his teachings, not all, many of his teachings give us a glimpse not only into whatever particular parsha or holiday he's going to be speaking about at the time, but specifically gives us a glimpse at what's going on in the Jewish world, the Jewish universe, and Jewish history during this difficult period, this challenging period of those 16 years from 1938 to 1954. So this afternoon, I guess, we're going to look at four examples of the Rebbe's specifically unique philosophy and orientation towards how we as religious Jews are meant to view both the establishment of the State of Israel, those who are not yet religiously committed, who are involved in establishing the State of Israel. And as we're going to see, his teachings are both inspirational and very, very poignant. And I find extremely meaningful, particularly during the Tekufah we are living through at this very period as well. And we're going to start, as I said, we're going to look at four examples. David, I believe, and we're going to begin this is page two in your source packet. We're going to begin with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. It's a Mishnah that many of us are probably very familiar with. They have a Zayar b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. One should be as careful with a mitzvah that they perceive as being kala, being simple, being less important or less serious, okay, as they are with one that is chamur, that is stringent or difficult or more serious, okay? Because the truth is, we don't really know the schar, the reward we get, the value of each and every mitzvah. A person might think in their own eyes that a particular mitzvah is maybe less important than, say, fasting on Yom Kippur, okay? But the truth is, says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, we don't know the value and the outcome and the reward for each and every single mitzvah. And therefore, we need to be equally diligent and concerned and careful with every single mitzvah. And in his commentary on this Mishnah, the Rambam, in the Parashah Mishnayos, take a look at text number two, okay, he says the following, Achar kach amar shetzach yizayr b'mitzvah sheyachshov ba sheyikala. Okay, the Rambam says, the Mishnah continues and says that a person has to be as careful with a mitzvah that he thinks as being simple And now what are his examples? Kesimcha terego. The examples he gives are the mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha, of rejoicing on the three pilgrimage festivals, v'limidat lashon hakodesh, and learning the Hebrew language. And this Rambam, that the Rebbe of Hasiatan is going to use as his springboard in this beautiful sicha about the importance of learning and speaking Hebrew, he is going to contextualize for all of us that learning and speaking Hebrew is indeed a mitzvah. And he's also going to contextualize why many in the religious community, particularly in the ultra-Orthodox community, refrained from learning and teaching Hebrew as a spoken language for many years. And he's going to give us a powerful insight that this is no longer relevant, that refraining from learning and speaking Hebrew. So we're going to begin. All right, so we're in text number 3. And he begins, the Rebbe begins, Rashi Piresh, Rashi comments on the pasuk, V'haya ekev tishma'un, ima mitzvot she'adam dash be'ekvav tishma'un, that a person, even the mitzvot that a person might trample upon, might not think is so important, they might trample upon it, that mitzvah, with their heels, with their feet, they shall heed. And so too, shaninu b'avot, we learn in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot, the heavy zar be mitzvah kalak b'chamura she'enata yodeya matzvah zchar and shal mitzvot. The Mishnah, he quotes the Mishnah we just learned together from Pirkei Avos. HaRambam b'perusha Mishnayot, and the Rambam in the perusha Mishnayot that we just learned together as well. Okay, he writes there. Starkly zahar be mitzvah she'chshov bak shehi kala. A person has to be careful with a mitzvah, even one that we might think is not important. Kigon simchat haregel v'leminat lashon hakodesh. Okay, and like Mila and Tzitzit u'shchita at the Pesach. She'ena ta yodeya matan zcharon shal mitzvot. So the Rambam takes it a step further. We only quoted a portion of the Rambam in our sheep. But the Rebbe quotes the whole Rambam here. And the Rebbe says, what are an example of a mitzvah that's a more serious mitzvah that we might think is a more serious mitzvah? The Brit Milah, the mitzvah of Tzitzit, the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. These are mitzvahs that we take very seriously, says the Rebbe. But a mitzvah like Aliyah Regel, Simchat Regel, or speaking Hebrew, where does the Rambam get this from? The Zepela, he says, Bishlama Simchat Regel, Ketuvah B'Torah. Okay, when it comes to rejoicing on a holiday, on a festival, we have a buffet, we have Beferish Pesukim the Torah that tell us this mitzvah, Simchas HaRegel, V'samachta B'chagecha, you shall rejoice on your holiday, V'samachta L'vnei Hashem L'kecha, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. Aval Limidat Lashon HaKodesh, Eifel Ketuvah B'Torah, but learning Hebrew, where is it written in the Torah that's a mitzvah to learn Hebrew? The Kitzu HaMefarshim Shadivrei HaRambam Yusadim al Sifri Parshat Ekev. Our Mefarshim explained that the Rambam gets this idea from a Medrash in the Sifri and Parshat Ekev. Okay, V'limadatem on the Pasuk that we all say in Shema, V'limadatem otam et b'neichem l'dab rabam. That you shall teach these words to your children so that they should be able to speak them. Mikan anu kishotinok matchil l'daber. From this pasuk, says the Rebbe of Hasiatan, when a child begins to speak, Aviv Mesiach Ima B'Lashon HaKodesh, his father, his parent, must begin to converse with him in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, or Melando Torah, and teach him Torah. Well, if he's there, okay, based on this Sifri, Mash Amar Rambam, that which the Rambam is teaching us, Kedon Lemidat Lashon HaKodesh, Hakavana Lilmo Kedei Ledaber B'Lashon HaKodesh. It's not enough, says the Rebbe Hasiyatan, to simply be able to read Lashon HaKodesh. We have to learn how to speak Lashon HaKodesh, because the source that the Rambam quotes is the pasuk, V'shinantam Levanecha, you shall teach Hebrew to your children, V'dibartabam, and speak the words of Hebrew. V'chein Ketav HaShalah, and so to the Shalah, the great 17th century Kabbalist, the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, Kol mi sheyuchal lehargil atzmo ledaber b'lashon hakodesh im reyav ye'aseh v'yaskil asu. Okay, anyone who is able to condition himself to speak in Hebrew with his neighbor, it's certainly a wise thing to do. Okay, now this is a little bit of muster for those of us Anglo Olim that maybe struggle a little bit with this mitzvah, to fully adapt this mitzvah of learning Hebrew and speaking Hebrew. But clearly the Rebbe of Hasyetin is giving us a very powerful message here. Okay, that there's a mitzvah. There, indeed, it's a mitzvah to speak in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKadosh. And he quotes the Gemara in Shavuot. Okay, Shabbat Shavuot Tzarich Lishtadel Lidaber Rak B'Lashon HaKadosh V'Lo Yishtamesh B'Lashon Chol. And there's a minhag on Yontav of Shavuot, says the Rabbi, based on the Gemara in Shavuot, that one should not speak any Lashon Chol in any other foreign language throughout the Yontav of Shavuot, but only speak Lashon HaKadosh. So now the Rebbe is going to ask the question. If speaking Hebrew is such an important idea, then it's puzzling to me, says the Rebbe, that so many people make light of this mitzvah and don't take it seriously. And now we're going to skip to the next paragraph. Ulam sibat hadavar hi. The reason for this appears, says the Rebbe, okay, because when the German Haskalah, the German Enlightenment, the Enlightenment that we call Reform or Secular Judaism, that began to spread across Europe, and it emanated from Berlin, so the enlightened intellectuals of Berlin, says the Rebbe, when that began to spread across Europe, into Russia, into Poland, into Galicia, the secular intellectuals, okay, the secular Zionist intellectuals tried to turn the hearts of the religious youth away from the tradition of Torah. And how did they do so? The Hishtamshu Lematrazu Ivrit Sacha. They used a beautiful, lofty, sophisticated, and engaging, beautiful Hebrew to entice them away from tradition. In order to grab the children of the Jewish people in their hearts, to grab our youth through their hearts. They wrote their works in a way, in a style that pulled at the heart. They view Rabin b'chelkat sfatam, and they brought many to their way of speaking and thought and hashkafa, their philosophy. And therefore, the chassidim prohibited and did not allow their children to learn or to speak Lashon HaKodesh. Okay? Because they were afraid that if they learned proper Hebrew and they learned a sophisticated Hebrew, they'd be drawn to read the Hebrew, the modern Hebrew works of the maskilim, of the quote enlightened ones, the secular intellectuals coming from Berlin and Germany. Avalzu haita racharat shas, the Rebbe. But this was only a temporary injunction for that time. It was only prohibited for that period. Hayom, now, says the Rebbe, because again, this is 1938, after he's already come to Eretz Israel. Kfar yeshnam shlomei emunei Yisrael, hasholtim b'lashon HaKadosh. There are already many, many very truly faithful individuals who have conquered Hebrew in the proper way, the kotvin yafeh, and they write appropriate things with a beautiful Hebrew. And therefore, by the Haredi youth, the religious, in this case, Haredi means the religious youth, no longer need to feel compelled to prevent themselves from learning Hebrew, that through learning Hebrew, they'll be forced to drink from the prohibited waters of the secular intellectuals. Rather, today, we've once again recaptured the beauty of the Hebrew literature, and we're once again writing Sifrei Kodesh in a beautiful Hebrew language, and therefore we should learn Hebrew both to be able to read and access the Sifrei Kodesh, as well as to be able to discuss and fulfill the mitzvah of speaking in Lashon HaKodesh. This is the first of four areas that are the four really unique examples of how this Rebbe kind of relates to many of the things that are happening in the modern movement of settling here in Eretz Yisrael. And we're now going to move on to a second such example. Okay, the second example, is that everyone's able to hear me? David, everyone, you hear me okay? Okay. The second example is from this past week, this past Shabbat, we read the Parshiyot of Tazria Mitzora. And if you take a look at, this is page 3, where it says, seeing the hidden bracha of Binyan Eretz Yisrael, there the pasuk tells us, v'chitavo el Eretz Canaan, when you come into the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, asher ani noten lachem l'achuza, that I will give to you as an inheritance, v'natati negat sarat b'veit Eretz achuzatchem. And you see upon the wall of the house that you've inherited, a negat sarat, a spiritual affliction. The affliction of sarat could appear not only on one's own skin, or on one's own clothing, but even on the walls of your house. And Rashi, in a very famous comment, explains this negat sarat that appeared on the walls of a house. And this is what Rashi says. B'sora hilahem, okay, the sarat appearing on your house is actually a good sign for you. How is it a good sign? That the reason why these afflictions are coming upon you, because the Amoraim who lived in the land of Israel before the Jewish people, they hid treasures of gold within the walls of their homes the whole 40 years that they were the ones dwelling here in the land of Israel while the Jewish people wandered in the desert. And through this spiritual affliction and the consequence of the spiritual affliction where the house would be closed for 7 days and then the wall would be broken open. Then what would happen when the wall would be broken open? They would find those treasures. Now listen to this powerful idea that the Rebbe of Hasiyatan uses this Rashi, this famous Rashi, that the Nigaim on the Batim, that the affliction of Tzarat appearing on the walls of the house was actually, on a certain level, a good sign because there was a spiritual hidden, there was a spiritual treasure map, if you will, that hidden within the walls, hidden within the Nega, hidden within the plague, the affliction, was actually a hidden treasure. And the Rebbe borrows this Rashi and says something very, very powerful in this piece. And we're going to learn together. This is text 3 on page 3. Okay, and this is what the Rebbe says. Mikol zeh yotze lanu lekach gam b'shvil ha'ozeh. Okay, and these are the words that the Rebbe said in 1939. He says, from all this, from this everything the Rashi is teaching us, we glean a very powerful message for the present, for the here and now, meaning what's going on in Eretz Yisrael here in 1939. The physical structures that are being built here in Eretz Yisrael, they are all so helpful and important for building up the Jewish community here in Eretz Yisrael. They're all important and desired. Even if they're being built by people who might have a little bit different view to Torah and to the significance of this land, this homeland, than you or I might have. Gam ha'arim v'habatim asher banu aknanim nizkeru b'Torah kimatana tova liYisrael. Even the houses that the Amorites and the Canaanim built in Eretz Israel, okay, that were left for the Jewish people, are seen as the Torah as containing a great gift for the Jewish people. And even more so are the buildings who are being built now by Jews. They may not necessarily have the same appreciation for Torah and the Masorah that we would like them to have, says the Rebbe, but if the buildings that were built by the Amorites here in Eretz Israel had hidden within them a gift for us, a matana tova, a good gift, a hidden bracha for us, then certainly, says the Rebbe, the homes being built by our Jewish brethren also contain within them hidden bracha. They're also good. They also are a matana tova, a gift of goodness from Hashem. Ulam abinyan ruchanit tzarich le'asot ach v'rach tachal hashkachat anshei Torah v'amuna kedei she'yamod al yisodot ha'kedusha. It's true that the spiritual building that has to take place here should only be done by those who are faithful to the Torah, and that. And Baruch Hashem, we succeeded in doing that also, in establishing that there would be a rabbinate. And there are all kinds of the challenges of the rabbinate today and how that should function. And people have many, many different opinions. But the fact that there is a rabbinate protects to a certain degree that there are fundamental values of the state of Israel that are based solely upon Torah. And that is concretized for the entire people of Israel. Okay, and that is something that the Rebbe said was critical to us, to building our spiritual survival here in partnership with the physical survival. Now we're going to skip to the next paragraph. Ula binyan Eretz Yisrael b'muvan achomri af api sh'avir chatzenu sh'amishtatfim bo yukulam shlomi emunei Yisrael, that certainly our preference would have been that everyone engaged in building up the physical reality, the physical infrastructure here in Eretz Yisrael, were committed to Torah and mitzvot. Certainly that would have been our preference. V'lo'od, despite that, we still have to be supportive of it. Why? Ela sh'schut g'dolahu le'ela ve'efshar she'yamod lahem she'yashuvu b'tshuva shlema. That there's great merit in everything that they're doing, and therefore we have to believe that through the great merit that they're achieving now, they will also one day be able and do tshuva shlema. And now the Rebbe says something very powerful. So what should be our role? How are we meant to relate to all this? And again, these are the words that he spoke on Shabbos, Tazria Mitzvah in 1939. Ulam, lefi darkenu. Okay? Thus, we all know what our path is. Ulam denu, we learn, ma gadol zchutam shel bonei aretz. Okay, what great merit those who are building up the Jewish community here in Eretz Yisrael have. Ulechein haita shitatenu tamid shitzarich lishtatef bevinyan. And therefore, our shita, our approach has to always be that we partner with them in the building. And now listen to the Rebbe's words. Why should we partner in the building? Reishi, the first and foremost reason is why? Mineshe mitzvah gedolahi. Because it's a great mitzvah to do so, says the Rebbe. The shenit, and the second reason is, and the second reason is that we will not have any influence, okay, and be able to influence the spirit of this country, the culture that permeates this country that is based upon the ruach of the Torah Kedosha, okay? We will not be able to have that influence if we separate ourselves and don't support the building of the infrastructure as well. Now the Rebbe continues. Ulam ha'achirim eshar rak lashpia b'derech shehorah lanu chazal. But when it comes to influencing others, we have to remember the only way to truly influence those who are not yet connected to the Torah is by hearing the words of our chazal. What is the mitzvah what does it mean to love Hashem? Through what, now listen to what the Rebbe says here. Shehei shem shamayim mitahev al yadecha. That through our acts, okay, others should come to love the name of God as well. And now what the Rebbe says. Avalo b'charufim v'gidufim. Okay, but we don't accomplish this by sharing any harsh or critical words. V'achakama v'kama. And certainly not by speaking any Lashon Hara against those who are not yet as connected to Torah as we'd like them to be. Because one of the very messages of this whole idea of the Tzarat, as we know, is what? Is to teach us to be careful to refrain from speaking any Lashon Hara. The Rebbe Hasietz, in this beautiful, powerful piece, tells us three take home messages. Number one, that it's a mitzvah to be engaged in building up Eretz Yisrael. Number two, that those who are engaged in building up that physical infrastructure, even if they do not relate to Torah and our tradition the way that we would hope they would, they certainly have great merit. And finally, that the way in which we accomplish and influence others to see the beauty and appreciation of Torah is not by speaking harshly or putting them down, but rather by leading by example what it means to live a life of Ahavat Hashem, so that others will desire to emulate, to see the beauty in such a life, and also come to embrace a life of Ahavat Hashem. The next example, which is a natural stepping up point from this idea, is the messenger seeing the good within every member of Klal Yisrael. And the Rebbe here, this is from a Sikha in 1951. So this is after the state of Israel has already been established, okay? And after the first 3 years of the state of Israel, which were very difficult times, the battle of independence, Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh, of course, was divided. And the Rebbe points to this pasuk that we're all familiar with because it's one of the psukim that we use on the Leil Seder in our response to the Arba Banim, to the four children. And this is source one on page four. V'hayaki tavo el aretz, and it will be when you come into the land of Israel, asher yitein Adonai lochem kasher diber, that God will give to you as he has promised, u'shmartem at avodah hazot, that you shall safeguard this service, meaning the Karban Pesach and teaching your children about the Karban Pesach and teaching your children about Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, v'hayah, and it will be, ki yomru elochem b'neichem, when your children will come and say to you, and they will ask, what is this service unto you? Now, the Rebbe takes this pasuk and shares one of the most powerful teachings that I've ever learned. And let's take a look at this together. In explaining this pasuk, I want to take one of the opinions that appears in the Medrash and the Mechilta. A great sign was bestowed upon the Jewish people at that moment. What does it mean, at that moment? At that moment when Hashem said these words to you. Okay? That when your children will come and say to you, what is this service to you? Okay? Sha'afa Omrim, listen to what the Rebbe says, that even those who say, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem, even those who ask, what is this service to you? Mikraim heim gam banim. They too are called banim, children. Even those who are seemingly, like the proverbial Rasha in Haggadah, who ask, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem, what is this service unto you? They are still called banim. They are still called children. Nibasu b'sora tova shehein atidin lirot banim uvnei banim v'ad olam lahem kolamar shiyu lahem ad olam v'lo yichrutu chas hashalom mishoshan. That even these children that seemingly are asking and struggling with their connection to Torah, they remain banim to Hashem, children to Hashem, and banim to each of us, children and to us, and children of the Jewish people. Ki chose emunatam v'chatehem hem rak mum over zmanit. Because their lack of faith, any lacking of faith and impurity they may have, is only a temporary blemish. L'tzareinu, says the Rebbe, chelek gadol me'anor be'eretz Yisrael, a great portion of the youth here in Eretz Yisrael, ka'asher hem yish'alim madua einchem shomrim et ha'shabbat l'fiyah mesorah. When you ask them, why don't you keep Shabbat in accordance with our tradition? Brit Olam, an eternal covenant, Beni Uvein Bnei Yisrael, between God and the Jewish people. If you ask them, why don't you keep Shabbat? And then he continues, Madua Einchem Nisarim Imachlot Asurot, Hamitam Tamot Etalev. And why don't you refrain from eating prohibited foods that bring impurity into our hearts? Why do you part ways with the ways of holiness and modesty? Shem Simanei HaUmah, which are the signs of our people. Hey Meshivim, B'mufurash, or B'remez. They'll answer us either straight up or even like allude to this pasuk. What is this worship to you? It's important to you. It doesn't matter to me. Ulam gam yidot tovot yesh b'hem, says Rabbi. But we have to recognize that they also have good character traits. Kibud aveim, they have respect for their parents. Avat achim, they love one another. Hachnasat orchim, they welcome refugees to their homes. Hachnasat orchim. Mesira nefesh, okay, they give of their life, they're ready to risk it all. Be'ad ha'umah v'aretz, for the nation and for the land. Hamidat ha'tavot ha'elam yidot. These good character traits testify kalikuyim v'akilkulim, that the deficiencies and destructive acts asher anuroim etzlam, that we see amongst them, heim rak lichluch ha'over ha'idei rechitza v'adacha k'divrei orachayim ha'kadosh, that these are only temporary blemishes that will be swept away, that will be cleansed and purified, as the Orachayim HaKadosh tells us, okay, the Ka'asher Tikuyan, as when we see the fulfillment of the promise that Hashem made to Yechezkel Navi, v'zarakti aleichem mayim tarim v'tiartem, that I will sprinkle my purifying waters upon them, and they will become purified. Yira'eh ki mumam eino mum kavua, we'll see that their impurity is not a permanent one, rather ki imum over valikuim al kikulim heim al pi rav b'sibat hasarat panim. We'll see, it'll be revealed that in most circumstances, any impurity is the result of people just not being able to grasp Hashem's presence in our lives. It's a result of this idea of hasarat panim, that it's difficult for many of us, to condition ourselves to believe and see Hashem's presence in our lives. And once that becomes much more revealed, when Mashiach comes, and it becomes much more evident, obvious, says the Rabbi Hasiyatan, that Hashem's presence is indeed there with us every single moment, then they too will also return. When Hashem reveals his great wonder and splendor upon us, kulam yashuvu b'tshuva shlema. They too will all do tshuva shlema. They too will all do tshuva. The take-home message from this powerful piece is that we must always recognize and view that just like the proverbial rasha in the Haggadah, the proverbial wicked child in the Haggadah, okay, remains a child, remains connected to Hashem, remains connected to his parents, remains connected to the shalshalet of Am Yisrael, so too the youth of our generation, says the Rebbe in 1951, and we could say it for the youth of our generation, for anyone who seemingly doesn't seem connected to Torah and mitzvah today, their distance from Torah and mitzvah is only temporary. They remain a ben in their heart and in their soul. They are part and parcel and connected and cannot be separated from the very essence of Am Yisrael and Torah Yisrael. A very powerful piece of Musar for all of us. I want to share one last idea that I hope will bring this all together. And this is the joy of Shivat Zion. Of course, we're celebrating this week, Yom Ha'atzmaut, the joy of returning to Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe in 1952 points to the Pasuk in Ki Tavo. It's a Pasuk that's text number 1 on page 5 of your sheets. And it will be when you come into the land of Israel that the Lord your God has promised to you as an inheritance, as a heritage, and you shall possess it and settle therein. And the word v'haya, okay, which means, and it shall be, literally, listen to what the Orachaim HaKadosh does with this word v'haya. Amar v'haya lashon simcha. The word v'haya always connotes what? And it shall be thus. Lashon simcha. A joy of, a language of joy, of happiness. L'ha'ir, this demonstrates and shows us, she'en li smoach ela b'yeshivat ha'aretz. A Jew cannot truly rejoice, okay? Cannot experience true joy unless what? They've experienced settling in the land of Eretz Israel. As the Pasuk tells us to heal him, Az Yimaleh Schok Pinu, okay, we will be, our face will be full of laughter, Ulshonenu Rina, and full of song. Our mouths will sing songs. And the Rebbe points this to Or HaChaim in this last piece that we're going to learn together this afternoon. And he says the following words. This is text number 3 on your sheets. V'hine atah kfar zechinu l'medinat Yisrael. And now that we've already merited to have the state of Israel, u'kibbutz galiot, in the beginning of the ingathering of the exiles, u'min haroi hu haya lishmoach. Therefore, it would seem appropriate to what? That we should rejoice. Kasher ketav Or HaChaim b'parsha, reish parshas tavo, as the Or HaChaim says in the beginning of parsha ki tavo, v'haya lashon simcha, the Or HaChaim that we just learned together, ein lismach ela b'shivat ha'aretz. Now the Rebbe says, ask a question on that Or HaChaim. Aval ashar lismach, is it really possible for us to rejoice? L'mareh matzav ruchani, when we look at the spiritual circumstances here in Eretz Israel, any rotzeh lo'arer dinim, I don't want to, God forbid, pass any judgment, okay, or cause any ill feelings. Chovatenu l'amid zchut, we have to always judge favorably. Gimel sibot l'matzav ruchani hamidayeg. There are actually three ways that we can explain the spiritual circumstances that are worrisome and troublesome for us. Okay, the first way is what? Chelek min ha'am kibel chinuch ra. A portion of our people have received, unfortunately, bad chinuch. They haven't received a decent education. The second rationale or reason, chelek min ha'am chai b'siva ra. A portion of our people live in terrible conditions. They, whether it be dangerous conditions, whether they're impoverished. And the third reason, listen to the Rebbe's words. Hashawa hanora'a shaba'a umaha yisraelit b'shanim ha'achronot dam avadav yakum adayin lo kavim. He says the results of the Shoah, the pain and destruction of the Shoah that we've experienced, we have still not fully bounced back as we're meant to. The Rebbe basically says something very powerful. He says many, many people indeed lost faith as a result of the Shoah, and we haven't fully overcome that pain and that loss, and we haven't been able to fully move forward, says the Rebbe in 1952. Yodim divrei Shlomo HaMelech b'Kohelet. We all know the words of Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet. Asher ein nase pitgam maase ra'a mehira, al kein male lev b'nei adam bohem lasot ra. A person doesn't always suddenly see Hashem's response. Okay, Hashem doesn't always respond immediately when we make a mistake, and therefore, sadly, a person will continue in those mistaken ways. Because Hashem doesn't strike us at the moment that we made that mistake, a person might fall into a bad pattern, says the Rebbe, based on the pasuk in Kohelet. Ma'ash ena kash baruch min maher, says Rashi, li parei min rasha'im. Since Hashem doesn't quickly turn away from the wicked ones, okay? Goreim etzel chalshei ha-seichel u'mugvalei ha-ofek l'hishtabshot ha-deot. It causes, because Hashem doesn't punish someone always right away, it causes a confusion in hashkafa, a confusion in the way that we understand and relate to the world. Al kol panim, despite all this, hamatzav ruchanim o'erer da'aga, or as a result of all this, the spiritual reality here in Eretz Israel certainly is a cause for concern. But the Rebbe doesn't stop there. Ulam ein makom leyush chas v'shalom. But there's no place, there's no space for us to give up hope, God forbid. Kvar havtichu haTorah. The Torah has already promised us. That in the end, the Jewish people will indeed return. As the Pasuk tells us in the Torah, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, the Torah promises that the Jewish people will indeed return to the Jewish people. Now look what the Rebbe says here. V'hita'arut l'tshuva lo tavo me'America. This movement of tshuva, this great return to Torah and spirituality and to and to the greatness of the Torah way of life and to the role that the Jewish people are meant to play in the world. That hitaruta, that return, that great movement of return, of returning to who we're meant to be, is not going to come from America, says the Rebbe, v'lo mi'Anglia, and it's not going to come from England, v'lo mi'Shar Atzot, and not from any other land, ki'im mi'Eretz Yisrael, but only from Eretz Yisrael, only from here in the land of Israel. L'chein amru chazal, as the Gemara in Ksuvos tells us, l'olam yidur adam be'Eretz Yisrael, afil be'ir sheruba ovdei avodah zarah, that a person should always, it's always preferable to dwell in the land of Israel, even in a land that's full of idolaters, rather than living, and it's preferable to live here amongst idolaters in the land of Israel, than to live in Chutz La'aretz, even in a land full of Jews, in a community full of Jews. But Ayidor Chutz La'aretz, it's the second half of the Gemara, Shekol Hadar Be'Eretz Yisrael, Ki'ilu Yesh Halakha, anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if they have God, and anyone who lives in Chutz La'aretz, it's as if they are worshipping idolatry, says the Gemara in Ksuvos. V'atam she Yeshua Ruchanit L'am Yisrael Tava Me'Eretz Yisrael. And the reason, okay, that we need to learn, the reality, the message that we need to learn is that the spiritual redemption is going to come to the Jewish people only from Am Yisrael, when the Jewish people come here to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, America's Yehudi Hazeh, from this spiritual center, this is the Rebbe speaking, from this spiritual center, Ha'olech v'nivneh be'Eretz Yisrael, that is being built as we speak here in Eretz Yisrael, Tavo be'ezrat Hashem yiparach, HaYeshua HaRuchanit v'chomerit l'Am Yisrael, will come the ultimate spiritual and physical redemption for the Jewish people. HaYeshua HaMikaveh, the redemption that we've been longing for, that we wait for, Ki mitzion tetzei Torah, because from Zion shall flow Torah. Kol pu'ulot tavot v'nechamot she'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu liten Yisrael, all good things and comfort that the Jewish, that Hashem will bestow upon the Jewish people in the future, okay, Einan Eile Mitzion, they will only come forth from Zion. The place where the Jewish people are destined to fulfill their sacred role in improving, in redeeming the world, and being an Or LaGoyim, being a light unto the nations, is right here in Eretz Israel. The Rebbe Hasiatan, living through difficult, difficult circumstances, circumstances that were worrisome both on a spiritual and physical, in the physical planes, the Rebbe Hasiatan continued throughout those 16 years that he was Zocha to live out the last days of his life in Eretz Israel, to see the good, continue to be an ambassador for Torah, and be an ambassador for seeing the good in the incredible gift that is the Yeshuv and the gift that is Medinat Yisrael, and to see that this gift of Medinat Yisrael was not only going to secure the physical future of the Jewish people, but was going to become the Merkaz HaRuchani, the spiritual epicenter of the Jewish people as well, which Baruch Hashem, each day here in Eretz Yisrael, each day that we're able to learn together, each day we're able to post these classes via Zoom and Facebook Live, and we send these out across the entire universe via these digital platforms, we are fulfilling this vision that the Rebbe so beautifully shares in this powerful piece. Ki mitzion tetzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. My bracha for every single one of us as we enter this amazing week leading up to the awesome day of Yom HaTzimut, is that indeed we should take to heart these powerful teachings. We should gain the perspectives of seeing the goodness of the gift that is Medinat Yisrael, seeing the potential that's still there for us to indeed impact the entire world. And Bezrat Hashem, we should indeed continue to see the ultimate fulfillment of the words of the Pasuk, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Chodesh Tov, Yom HaTzimut Sameach. Thank you all for being here with us.
And thank you.
Thank you once again, Zamira and David and everyone involved in making this happen behind the scenes.
Thank you.